Take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
Starting with the Psalmist Voice Reloaded on Sundays at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Then the Psalmist Voice Presents by booking only. Tuesdays, it's The Grub at 1 p.m. Followed by Victory Over the Weights of Life with Sister Deanne Lebrine at 6 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sego at 4:30, followed by Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Friday, Music of the Spirit with Trey Milner at 4:30 p.m. And Saturdays is our double hitter, and it starts with Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown, with Roberta Jones at 11 a.m. Central, followed by Brother Don Presents with Pastor Gene Homer at 4 p.m. Also download Live 365 and search the Psalmist Voice Radio Network, and you're in there. You can also follow us on Facebook at TPV Radio or visit our website, www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! At Javina Distributing, we got your covering for your winter and summer needs. One size fits all. To order yours today, please message them on Facebook at Javina Distributing or call 616-929-2991 or 517-489-6923. Or you can order from the website www.allsportsheadgear.com and type in promo code Siron2020 to receive 20% off your purchase. Let's get it. Let's go. At Majal's Products, we care for a better you with our handmade natural ingredients to give you healthier skin, body, and stronger hair, like our face, foot, hair, and body care products. To order yours today, please visit our website at www.majalsproducts.com or on Facebook at Majal's Products. Get yours today and get your faster results without breaking the bank.
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go.
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sego, right now on TPV Radio.
City on my back, a whole lot on my chest, treating me foul, had to tap it with the rest. Blow the whistle. Them folks got benched, now watch me get blessed. Had to switch it up, everybody ain't loyal. But my day one's with me, been down since the soil. All these hard times ain't finna stop, never. If my God be with me, then we poppin'. Okay. On the real, really losing ain't no option. I got the word in my heart, so be cautious. I swear these Pharisees really make me nauseous. Guard my mind, ain't no time for no nonsense. Nah, straight like that, set it on wax. Only spitting facts, you can play it back. You can hear the truth when I'm in the booth. Can hit the dough if you get
brother,
mad.
Your cousin, your nephew, of real talk, Pastor Byron Sego.
What you finna do when you get in? I'ma
Hey, hey, what's going on, everybody? You already know it's your brother, your cousin, your nephew. Hey, this is Pastor Byron Sego, and I want to welcome you to our episode of Real Talk. It is October 29th, and hey, we appreciate everybody that's with us, that's riding with us, that's viewing right now, viewing later. And if you own, hey, share it with somebody, tag somebody, start a watch party, and come on in and join us on today's show. So again, I wish blessings on everybody on today, on this afternoon. I pray that everybody is staying well, staying safe, and just using our good minds and making good decisions on what's going on around here during this time. And so, hey, you already know, hey, this is the TPV Radio Network, and I'm going to lay this disclaimer down before we get started. We don't talk politics. We don't talk politics here on a Real Talk. What I will tell you to do, I will tell you to go and vote, because your vote is important. And I know in a lot of areas, early voting is still going on. Some places have one more day left before early voting is done. Go vote. I encourage you to go vote. Hey, it is your right to go and vote. So, hey, use your right to go vote. And if you haven't voted yet, hey, go on November 3rd and cast your vote. This is a very, very important election during this time. So go. Just go and cast your vote. Do what you're supposed to do. Amen. So, again, hey, thank y'all for joining us. Hey, I want to send a few shout-outs before we get on the line, because we have a special guest. We have Miss Angela Morgan, who is the founder of Angel's Heart Ministry Outreach for Women, and she is going to have a lot to say about her ministry, her vision for ministry, and we're going to talk about community as well. So before we bring her on, I just want to send some shout outs. Send a special shout out to TBV Radio Network for all that they do in the whole TBV family. Hey, I want to send a shout out to my first lady, Lady Latanya Sego. Hey, I love you. I appreciate you for everything that you do. I want to send a shout out to my kids, everybody that's listening, Light of Hope Fellowship Ministries, Blessings on the Block Community Outreach, everybody that's connected with us. Hey, I appreciate you, I salute you, and I thank you for all that you do and your support. So let's get down to the gritty of the nitty, and I hope everybody is gravy on today. So again, hey, my special guest on this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, is Angela Morgan. She is the founder of Angel's Heart Ministry Outreach for Women, and I've been excited about her coming on because I've seen everything that she's been doing in her area, getting out there, reaching people, talking to people, being there for people. So I'm really, really excited about her talking about her ministry today, and hopefully through her talking about her ministry on the radio on tonight, that somebody will partner with her, somebody will connect with her, somebody will join in with her and her in her vision of getting out there and being with the people. So, hey, I want to welcome Ms. Angela Morgan. Welcome, 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 welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Sego. Thank you. Good morning to God. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, I appreciate you coming on, taking time. Just a little time to ride with us. I know you got a busy schedule, but hey, I really appreciate you taking time for coming on with us and just talking for a little bit about your ministry. Now, I've been seeing you doing a lot, and you know, I'm seeing some of your Facebook posts and things like that, and I know you're not doing any of that for sure. I know you're doing that for to make sure people are informed and know what you're doing. So tell people a little bit about yourself.
I am 56 years old. I am a recovering addict. I've been in recovery for almost 10 years now. December the 6th will be my deliverance date. But I used to be, like I said, I used to be out there in the streets, and I know what it is to be out there. So I am a mother of three, a grandmother of 10. You know, I don't have a lot of education, but I'm educated through the Lord, and I believe in God with all my heart because he is real to me because he's real with me. Like I said, I have a lot of people behind me supporting me, and this became a vision for me during a term in prison, my second term in prison. So God was different than me at the time. You know, I was like Jonah, just still running from it, you know, and all I can say is that I have so many goals and so many values for this ministry, and I also have a personal stake in this because I've been here. I've done what these women are doing. I've felt what they feel. You know, I've done it all that they're going through, so I understand basically, you know, what they're going through, and all I want to do is get out there and show them. You know, not to get out there and boast or none of that, just to show them what kind of life they can have believing in God.
Amen. That's good. That's good. So how long has your ministry been formed? I mean, I don't know how new it is, but how long has it been formed to where you've been out there and you actually had that name, Angel's Heart Outreach for Women? And tell the people a little bit about that name. How did you come about that name?
Angel's Heart Ministry, like I said, it was birthed in me from the time of my second prison term for a couple of years, but it actually came to form in June. So I did my first outreach, which was called Persons of Compassion for Women in June. And I forgot the date, but anyway, it was where we went out. We filled, we had a lot of donation of purses filled with hygiene, and we went out and we passed the purses out to the women. Angel's Heart Ministry, I did a tug of war as far as the name, but my mom is the one that came up with the name. One of my biggest supporters, my mother, Sarita Morgan, she's the one that came. She said, well, why don't you just name it after you because you have such a big heart. So name it, you know, Angel's Heart, you know. So that's where the name came from.
Okay. Okay. Now, are you mostly focused on just, is your ministry focused just on women specifically, or whoever needs help, you're going to go out there and help them if they need it?
It was formed basically to, you know, to focus on the women that are displaced and unsheltered and that are caught up in addiction, prostitution, things like that. That's what my main focus was. But like I said, God put it on my heart in October, because I had so many brothers to come up to me, too, you know, out there. And, you know, what about us, you know? But so October I did host an event called Prodigal Sons for the men. But I am focused on women because my goal is, and God say the same, to open a transitional house for women, for where they transition from the streets until, you know, into a normal life.
Yeah, and I definitely believe that's going to happen. Even through the troubles and stuff that we go through, I truly believe that's going to happen because you said it's going to happen. Now, I saw your last outreach. I think you did that outreach in two phases. I think you did a phase for for women, then you did a phase for men, right?
The last one that I just did.
Yes.
No, it was 2 days. When I do my outreach, I usually do it on a Saturday in one part of Dallas, and then I do the second day in another part of Dallas. But the last event was Prodigal Sons, but it was just different days.
Okay. Now you're in Dallas. Now what area in Dallas are you in, or what area do you target there?
Right now I'm focusing the area of Lancaster Road and 52nd and Kingsley Drive. I focus on that area because that's an area where I would frequent. You know, that's where I hung out. And a lot of the ladies over there that I'm serving now are ladies that I used to be out there with, you know. And another part is over by my mom's house, where I see a lot of ladies when I go over there. It's off Polk and Keast, a Polk and Keast shopping center. It's a car wash over there where they hang at. So I really, my focus is to hit every aspect of Dallas right now. But right now I'm getting my feet wet and getting comfortable with how I run the outreach, and you know how many volunteers I get. You know, it's just, you know, it's just one day at a time.
Right. So let me ask you this, and again, you know, I want you to know, you know, this is real talk, and I don't go by a script of questions. So here's what I want to ask you. Now, knowing that and understanding that you dealt with some of those areas, you've been out there, you've been incarcerated. Now, how important is it for people to understand and for people to know that those people in that might be still in the streets, they still need to be presented God? How is it important for people of Christ to understand that?
Well, I want them to understand, first of all, these people, you know, everybody said, well, they can help being out there. A lot of them can't. And, you know, we all make mistakes. And some of us know how to get up and from our mistakes, but some of us don't, and some of us lose our way. And the perception that these women have out there in the street, far as Christian people, is Christian people only care about their people. You know, because a lot of times when I was out there, I would see Christians go to church on Sunday from, you know, the store. When they go in, they got a frown. When they come back, they got a frown. Don't ask me for nothing. And why you do, you know, but you can't not approach these women like that, or the men, because you don't know the circumstances of what they're, why they're out there. And these are people that are educated people that had lives. But, you know, when I was out there and I came back in, when I finally got delivered, it was like I was learning everything over again. It was like I was learning everything for the first time, going out to eat, going to the movies. These people, they don't have, some women don't have a choice. Some are in domestic violence relationships. A lot of them are, you know, on drugs. A lot of them, for me, it was feeling emptiness, you know, hopelessness. You know, lonely, and like people don't care. And then some, and then when they get out there, people get in their heads that this is the only life for you. This is the only way you're going to make it. And then they get to believing that the pimps or whatever is out there are the only ones that care about them. Because it could be any one of our sister, aunt, mama, you know, any one of them out there. And I'm sure that addiction has touched each family that's in touch somebody, even if it's down the line. You know, so I just want them, when I go out there, I want the women to know, even the ones that I go out there, that I've been out there with, I want them to, for me to be the light at the end of that tunnel. Because when you go out there, it's like a maze. It's like you keep coming back to that same road. You never find your way out unless somebody praying for you, you know, you got to go out there and show them that you care. You got to show them that God is real. If you're going to call yourself a woman of God or a man of God, you got to show them God through you, how you treat them. You know, not judging them by what they're doing. Because when I go out there and say, you got to hurry up and get off of this. You got to stop doing this. Look at me, I'm doing it. I don't do any of this. Because it's not for me to judge. All I can do is put a hand out there and show them the kind of life that God has for them if they just give everything to Him.
And that's real good, because what I will tell you is that when outreach is being done, I think the realization is that we have to understand that outreach is not about It's not about us. It's not about the person that's doing the outreach. Right. It's about the people. It is about the people who you're trying to touch.
That's right. That's right. It's about them all the way. And I don't care. And last time I was out there, it was a young lady that got very angry at me, and she cussed and all that, but I don't care. And this time when I came back out, she was like, can I please come over there? And some people say, I wouldn't even fool with her no more, but that's not what God is about. You know what I'm saying? Just imagine if he turned us away about a lot of things that we say to God, say to him. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what the outreach is about. I know what she was feeling, and I know what she was going through at the time that she was bursting in this anger. I can't say that I don't know how they feel or what they're going through, because I do.
Right, right. And I know one thing that we do have to understand too is that we have to meet those people right where they are, because here's what I will say. Because if we all want to say that we want to be Christ like, we have to be like Christ, because Christ met everybody right where they were.
That's right.
The prostitute, the thug that he had in his circle, he even had a backstab in his circle. He met everybody right where they were. And just like you said, and I tell a lot of people too that in order to pull people, you know, the church inside the walls of the building, people are saying that it's dwindling out. Well, what you have to do is you have to be able to be willing to go out to bring people in to make in order to make new disciples.
Right.
In order
That's
to make
right.
better disciples, you have to go
right.
get them right where they are. So why is it that you believe that? Because it's one thing that you said that was really, really key. You said that the word on the street is that Christians only care about Christians. All right.
Yes, sir.
I've said that so many times.
Right.
I've said that so many times that is the thought. Yes. And by the actions of a lot of people who call themselves followers of Christ, that
right.
is the realization, because that's what people
it
see.
Really
because yeah, because you pass right by people and you don't say anything to them, or
like
the only time,
mm-hmm.
right, and or the only time that you're out there being with them and providing them with something is only during Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. See, their struggle don't start Christmas and Thanksgiving. Their struggle mm-hmm. is 365 days a year, every day, every minute, every second. They have to be in survival mode. And like I say, you know, it's good to be in church. I love being in church, but a lot of church then got complacent and they just sitting in. You can't get anybody inside the walls. You got to go out. Like you said, you got to meet them on their own terms and their own turf, because a lot of them don't want, a lot of them, the devil has them so full of shame and guilt. So we have to be the ones to make that first step to let them know there is no shame with God. There is no guilt, you know. I'm not judging you. I want to love on you. I want to give you hope, you know. We got to try to learn how to disciple to these women and men. We have to learn how to disciple. A lot of them say, I don't know how to speak to them. I don't know how to talk to them. I don't know how to approach them. Approach them with love. Approach them as Jesus would approach them.
Right.
You know,
And I think one thing that people have to understand, especially when we go out and we're trying to make disciples or we're trying to evangelize, the first thing that we shouldn't hit people with. Now, you have to build relationships with people.
That's right.
You can go out there to an area, say for instance your target area, and I don't know the essence of your target area, right? But just say for me, if I was to go target your area, if I was to do an outreach in your area, the first thing that I would do is I would have to understand that I would have to build a rapport and relationships with those people.
Right.
You know,
right.
Come out there one time, come out there two times, come out
mm-hmm.
there three times.
You got
and then maybe on that third time, maybe I can start talking about, you know, a little bit of God and things like that. Yeah. But not the first time. You can't go out there and expect it. Right, right. You can't expect the success if you go out there and you just throw God at them right there from the beginning.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, well, they're not listening. I didn't get nobody. You don't get them at the first. It's gonna take a couple of times. These people have to learn to trust you, you know, and they have to. This ministry that I'm in, I want to be able to form relationships with the women that I'm dealing with, you know, for a relationship that go long term, not just when I'm out there. Like they can comment, so Sister Morgan, can you help me get in this rehab, or do you have resources for me to go here? Because I pass my card out to them, and I tell them, call me anytime. You know, I'll make time for you. Leave a message. I'll come to you. But
right.
You got to form
right.
a relationship with them. They don't trust people, especially people that are not doing what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Then they think everybody has alternative motives if they do help them.
Right.
Because mostly on the streets, when somebody help you, they have a motive behind it.
Mm-hmm. So here, this kind of leads up to my next question, and we got I'm gonna hold that next question until we come back from break. So how do we make church folk, all right? I always tell people there's a difference between being a follower of Christ and just somebody that goes to church. Okay,
right.
So
yeah.
how do we begin to make the people understand that being outside the four walls of the church is where we need to be, where we should. Now let me go back. Now there is a purpose inside. Inside the four walls, there are things that need to be done. There's growth. Mm-hmm. There's teaching. Mm-hmm. There's understanding. I got that. I truly mm-hmm. understand that. But as well, mm-hmm. how do we make it understood that we have to get out these four walls, and these four walls is not going to bring staying inside, being so focused on revivals and being so focused on this convention and that convention is all good. That's all good.
Right.
I'm not saying that's
mm-hmm.
bad stuff.
Right.
But how do we make people understand that we have to get out of these four walls in order to continue to make disciples? Because these people that are outside, that are afraid to come inside, they want God, but they don't know how to get inside because, just like you said too, Angela, that people don't know how to go inside. So how do we switch that up to make followers of Christ, or said followers of Christ, understand that we got to get out there? How do we do that?
A lot, like when I gave my testimony at my church, and a lot of the women were saying, well, I've never done that, or I've never been in that situation. First of all, you know, it's a lot of recovering addicts in churches. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you can start a class where you can, where somebody that is in recovery can teach that class, teach those sisters and brothers that's in the church how to approach these sisters and brothers, or learn how to form a relationship with them. And you know, and a lot of them are fearful. You know what I'm saying? God said not to have a fearful spirit, but a lot of them are fearful. Well, they might not accept me like this, or they might get mad or run. But that's a chance you have to take if you want to win souls, because you have to earn, like I said, you have to earn that trust. You have to be consistent with going out there, showing them that you care. You know, and we have, there's a lot of people in church that's in recovery. You know, get a women's outreach in the church, where you can have recovering addicts in there to talk about their issues and the things that they went through on the street, so they can understand. Because my family didn't understand why I went out there, or why I wouldn't stay home, or what brought me to that point of going out there or being out there. That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold nobody understands, you know. And so
right.
if you got somebody in there teaching you the issues and the isolation that these people feel, the issues that they're going through, because there's so much involved being on the streets with addiction and domestic. A lot of women, they're in domestic violent relationships, and they feel like that's the only one that's going to take care of them, or they're out there with their kids. I done seen some that's out there with their kids, you know. But we have to get in church and have these outreaches in church. Start in the church, and you can start discipling, having the recovering addicts that you're in, you know, like a NA group in your church.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then some of the people that's in recovery, they can kind of tell you and show you and tell you some of the things they went through and how they felt. So then you can start trying to get an understanding of how you can approach these sisters and brothers.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So I think we're gonna forego the break, Angela. This is real. This is a good conversation. I want to keep it going. So now,
mm-hmm.
I know what you said. You said that, you know, you have to form these groups, but I think the root problem is that these bodies of Christ, they're gonna have to want to do it.
That's right. You got to, and you know, a lot of the people in church, they've been touched by they've had family members and so called, you know, other people that they've been touched by this, and they probably never had to deal with it personally, or they just don't deal with it. But at some point in time, you have to deal with it to win those souls. You know, we got to be vigilant, and we got to be consistent, and we have to go out on their terms, like I said. Have to go out there, and you have to talk to them. You know, talk to them. Don't just hand them out. You know, I talk to them, and I understand the women's side of it. But when I went out on this event, I got a lot of brothers that told me the issues that they're facing, some of the obstacles that they're facing, some of the things that they've been in and out. You're going to go in and out until that date of deliverance that God has for you.
Mm. Right. And then we have to be willing to listen to them. And then, and what's real important, and then one thing I was getting at when I said that the bodies of Christ, the people gonna have to want to go out, is that there has to be a vision in the heart of that body. Now, the central nucleus of that body, well, here on earth is the under shepherd, which would be the pastor or the pastors. So that has to be a part of the vision and the understanding that we got to get out there, and we got to build these people, and we're not going to reach the success there. Because here's what I tell people. I tell people that I'm going to try to do my best. I know I can't get out there. I'm going to try to do my best, because that day I'm going to have to give an account.
That's right. That's right.
I'm going to have to give an account.
Mm-hmm.
Of what I did and what I didn't do. And we don't know what Christ is going to ask us on that day we have to give an account.
Amen. We really don't.
We really don't. Yes, it might be that. It might be, well, why didn't you stop and talk to that person that was sitting on the side of the road that you just passed by?
Because, Pastor, I tell you, my mom I tell her sometimes, since I've been delivered, I watch people, you know, while they in their addiction and struggling and stuff. And I just know sometimes I get so overcome with emotion. I cry in my car because I see somebody that I really want to help. But sometimes I'll stop and ask them, is it anything I can do, or is it anything I can give you right now to help you, or is it anything that you need right now? Sometimes you just have to stop and ask a person, because you don't know. You don't know what they're going through or what they've been through.
And then you can't be careful of asking. Right. Because I think one of the biggest problems that when it comes to being able to go out and being able to evangelize and trying to make disciples is, one, people don't know how to do it the right way, because you have to go at it in a strategic way. You have to understand that you have to build relationships with people.
You do.
And if you go out there and you bash him with God's word from the door, as soon as you go out there and you bash him with God's word, they're going to run away from you.
That's right.
Right.
First thing I do, I start when I go out there, and like I said, the where I am, where I'm based at, some of the points where I'm hitting at now is the area where I was, and a lot of them is like, "What happened? What did you do?" And one little girl told me, she said, "I want to be like you. I want to become like you. What did you do? How did you do it? I want to go through every program and everything that you did, you know." And it got next to my heart because she looked like she was like 23 or 24, you know. And I mean, you'd be surprised at how young they are. And it touched my heart. So, and I asked, I said, "Do you believe in God?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, baby," I said, "you call me anytime." And I said, "If you want to go right now, I can take you to a rehab that'll take you right now. You won't have to do nothing." And she said, "Well, no, not right now." I gave her my card. I said, "Well, when you feel like you're really ready to go, call me." I didn't say, "Well, you got to go now, you know." No, I can't do that. And if you start off the top, "God said this, God said that," you can't be like that. First, you have to get them to listen to you as a person.
Right. Exactly. So let me ask you this question, and this is a big question. And well, it's not a big question, but it's a question that some people kind of shy away from a little bit. But I know you can believe the answer because I've given my answer and my thoughts on this plenty of times. Mm-hmm. Has the church forgot about this community?
Over there where I went to, where I say I was, my pinpoint place, and my sister is a witness to this. My sister, Dietra Neatley, she goes out to my outreach with me on a lot of them, you know. But this girl, one of the ladies said to us, "Y'all are the first ones to come out and feed us and talk to us and give us things." And she pointed out all the churches in that community on the corners that were sitting there, and she said they never come out to speak with them or talk to them or bring, you know, she said, and me and my sister were like, wow. I mean, it was so many churches right there in that neighborhood. And I think the church has got complacent. Like I said, they've got complacent, and they think that people are going to, you know, it's going to hit them and they're going to run up into church. But like I said, the devil has so much shame and guilt until you approach them and let them see and talk to them and let them know that God is real and he's there for them, and then he'll forgive anything that they, and they be like, "Well, what, I done did this, God can forgive everything. God will forgive you and wash you white as snow." You know, and you got to let them know that.
Right. And again, we have to be able to say, "Hey, you know what, I got you. You know, it's no problem," because it's kind of like what you said too. We don't know why those people are in the situation that they're in right now. We have no idea of knowing. We don't know whether it could be drug addiction, rather it could be they found themselves in a situation where they had to where they had to get away, man or woman.
Mm-hmm. A lot of women out there, I know that's out there addiction. It came from something traumatic that happened in a childhood that's just not manifesting, you know, or something that happened something that traumatized them. It came from somebody that turned them on to it.
Yeah. Or it could come from, like, there's a numerous amount of things.
Yeah.
Right. And we have to be able to stop looking down our noses, which means our nose got to be up in order to look down at somebody. So we, as followers of Christ, we have to be able to stop looking down on people just because God has saved us, and we've been fortunate enough that God has saved us. We can't look down at anybody, regardless of the situation that they're in, and think and make them feel that they are worth any less than we are, because we can have all of these. We can be educated, which is good to have a good education. We can have nice jobs. We can, and it's good. It's okay to have it. But I will tell you right now that if we continue to do that, if the body of Christ continues to do that, we are going to be in a world of hurt. And I will tell you that. A lot of followers of Christ, church folk, they make excuses for why they're not doing what they should be doing.
That's right. I was told that I wouldn't, when I approached about this my leader about this ministry, I was told that I wasn't strong enough. You know, or I needed to go take classes. I took classes when I did all the classes. I did all the learning I could. When I was out there. Those were my classes.
Yeah. So you took hands on classes, but I will tell that in a situation like that, the first thing. I don't know your leaders, and these. I'm sure they're great people. I know they are.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, as leaders, the question should be, or the approach should be, is that okay? I hear you. So let's talk about this vision. What do you want?
Right.
What is your goal? What do we need to do? How can we help you? And here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna sit down. We're gonna make sure you're prepared to get out there and do it, because when you shine, when you're out there, and if you're bringing God glory, that's feeding into that body, or it should be anyway.
Right. And I had to be, and I know how long God has been on me about this. Like I said, birthed in me when I was doing a prison term, and like I said, I was running. You know, and I know how long God has been on me about this ministry, you know, and so I have to be obedient to what God said, you know.
That
was my biggest thing. And then I'm a big stickler on accountability, you know. I had to be obedient to his word, and I had to be accountable for what, you know, God has told me to go out there and do.
So how difficult has it been for you to kind of keep your focus, especially during this time? And I'm not a big talker about the pandemic. We hear enough about it on the news. We hear enough people preaching about it. We hear so much about it. And you know, how has the pandemic caused your focus to be kind of thrown off a little bit? I know it's kind of put a damper in a lot of things that you really want to do, as well as I think everybody has put a damper on a lot of people's things. So has the situations we're dealing with right now, which we believe is going to be around for a while, has it kind of thrown your focus off on your total vision on what you want to do?
Not a lot, you know what I'm saying? Because when I'm basically doing what I have in my heart to do, and that's doing the outreach month to month, you know. So, but I feel totally safe. I don't focus too much on the COVID unless I'm out there doing events, and I focus on trying to keep the people that's volunteering safe. And so, you know, like we're out in the air, we stay apart. We when they walk up, we give them masks, and we ask them to sanitize their hands and stand so far apart. A lot of them want to hug you and stuff like that, and I, you know, you have to tell them, nah, and, you know, nothing against you, but the COVID, it really only time that the COVID really has put a damper on it is, you know, like when one of the girls wanted to go to the rehab, I couldn't take her, you know.
Mm.
But as far as my focus, you know, I could tell. But for me, that was crucial because I wanted to make sure she get there. And by me not being able to take her, I wasn't going to be sure she was getting there. You know,
right.
And then when they said that they want to go to rehab, you have to do it at that time. You have to stop everything you're doing and do it at that time. Or the devil going to make them focus on something else or bring something else to where they're going to forget all about it and go back to doing what they're doing just for that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Because if they say, hey, I want to go right now, and then you say,
right.
Well, I'll come back and get you tomorrow. You,
yeah.
Nine times a day, you probably ain't going
to
find them tomorrow.
Right.
Right.
And tomorrow, and you know, saying that to a person that's on the street, you know, the devil, like when I got ready to come off the street, the devil did so much within that hour of waiting for somebody to pick me up to try to keep me out there.
Hmm.
Yeah. So when they say that they're ready, you have to be ready to take them at that point because tomorrow is not, they line to be 20 miles away tomorrow. And no telling what the devil done gave them all kind of money or all kind of drugs or something to keep them out there.
So have you ever talked to youth, kind of told youth about your story to understand that it's consequences and repercussions for the decisions that we make long term? Even
yes,
even
I have, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, finish your question.
No, I was saying even when we make decisions so young, even those decisions that we make at a young age, young teen or whatever, they do affect us as we get older because you know we think about if we wouldn't have made that decision at that age, where would we have been, you know, at this age?
Mm-hmm. Well, when
so,
I gave my first testimony was to a church full of youth. And I have a lot of nieces and nephews and my children, too, because they went through all this with me growing up. But, yes, I try to be truthful. Some parents do, they try to hide this and hide that, but you have to be truthful to your child, and you have to tell them the truth and be upfront with them. And that's one thing I did with my children. And I even spoke to a lot of girls that were young on the streets that were out there doing what I was doing.
Especially nowadays, especially during
uh-huh.
these times.
Yes.
We got to
yes.
get them. We got to get them early because I mean yeah. let's be real and I'm going to be real about it. There are mm-hmm. young girls out there having kids at 11 and 12 years old.
That's right. That's right. That's
they
right.
are.
Mm-hmm.
And that and they don't realize they think they're in love and they think they've fallen in love and they don't
mm-hmm.
understand that this decision that they're making so young.
Mm-hmm.
Can affect them the rest of their lives. You know,
mm.
the consequences and repercussions mm. of their decisions. So yeah, so when we get done, I got something I wanna present to you as well, when we get done.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll do that offline. So what's your overall arching big vision? I know that you have your vision of what you want, and I know you talked about that, you know, you want to be able to help women as kind of like a shelter, bring them in and be able to refer them out. But what's your overall big picture? What's the big picture of Angel's Heart Ministry Outreach for Women? What's the big picture?
The big picture for me is a transitional house, like I say, you know, that's the big vision that I have. Because when I was out there, it's a lot of homes that offer you shelter and stuff, you know, but they're not focused on the issue that you're having. They bring you in, and like you say, they bombard them with God. They probably let them come in and get clothing and sleep, and then 3 days later, they got them out there selling stuff for the home as is paying for their bed, you know. So I want a home to where the women can come and I can provide everything for them, plus feed them the word of God gradually and talk to them and hear some of their issues and them not having, because when somebody is focused on getting in recovery, Pastor, they don't have no business back on the streets in 3 days selling nothing or earning nothing or not even 30 days, not even 15 days to earn nothing for that home. If that's a home of restoration and of focused on helping them with their issues, why should they be put on corners or to pass out or sell anything?
Yeah.
And I want a home, a transitional home where they can come and they can sit down, and I want to be hands on. I don't want nobody, you know. At the start, I know I can be hands on if it's small, but I want to be hands on with the ladies. I want to start an alumni after they've been clean so long to be able to come back to the home and work with other women, you know. And this transitional home, it'll be able to at least, you know, give them time to where they can sit down and think about what they want to do, you know, or how we can help them, and then and try to build relationships back up with their family, you know, and get them to think about their careers or where they want to go from there, you know, and give them time to where they can think about all these things and not put them right back out on the street.
Right. Yeah. Because if you have an addiction, and psychologists have said that when you have a recovering addict, that that there are three things that they need to stay away from. They need to stay away from those play places, those play people, and those play things. So if you put them right back, if you put them right back where those play places are, which is A, back on the street, you put them back around those same people who haven't decided in their heart that they want to change. You're putting them right back in those people, and then you're putting them back around those same things that and the truth is they'll fall right back into that those old habits. Right.
Because you know what, Pastor, even if they out there selling things for the home, the first part, when they get that money in their hand and they haven't been out of their addiction for like 3 or 4 days or even 10 days, you think they're going to go back to that home with that money?
Yeah.
The devil going to be right on them. Now you got that money gone back. You see they not helping you and they want you to, you know, the devil going to be working with them so strong. So I want them to be able to come into the home, get a good nourishing meal, get everything that they need materialistic, but I want to work on those spirit and plus work on those their spiritual wellness.
Yeah, yeah. And that's important too, you know. Meeting those physical needs are important, but those spiritual needs is where is the nucleus, the core of to get them where God wants them at. And then those people, that type of atmosphere that you want to put those women in, you're going to, and I didn't say if, I'm telling you that you are going to be able to put out some powerful women. And I will say I hope that later on down the line that God even blessed you to a point where you can do the same thing for men as well, because because men struggle too. They do.
Oh, yeah. They struggle with a lot more than we do.
Yeah. And there are a lot more avenues out there for women than there are for men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all the statistics of it, but I know that there is more outreach, there is more help out there for women than there is for men. So my last question before we finish up, because we got like 5 minutes. So if you would tell anybody anything that's listening right now, just say if there was a woman that was listening that's struggling right now in some type of addiction, some type of problem that they may be going through, what would you say to them right now?
I would say you are worthy. You are loved regardless if nobody else, God loves you. And there is hope for you. I'm a living witness. I am a living witness. I love you. I don't even have to know you, and I love you. You are worthy. Learn to love yourself. Look in the mirror and say, I love you. You are worthy of any. You deserve better. God has better for you. God can love you like no man.
That's good. So, look, Angela, I appreciate
mm-hmm.
you. You got
I
the time. Send your shout-outs. The floor is yours. If you got some shout-outs you want to send out, tell people about your ministry. Hey, shoot them your just put out in the airways your cash out, whatever you want to put out. The floor mm-hmm. is yours. Send your shout-outs.
Okay. First of all, I want to give an honor to God and thank you and honor to you, Pastor, for having me on, being able to highlight my ministry. I want to thank Alpine Life Ministry for highlighting my ministry for the month of October. I want to thank all my volunteers, my sister Deidre Neely, who's there on hand, and she's my confidant, my everything. She's the one that keeps me encouraged. My mother, most of all, she can't do much because she can't see them. She is just a wise lady. You know, my children, my sister and brothers, you know, that supports me, that shows me encouragement and love, that prayed for me, prayed for this ministry, helped me birth this ministry. And I just, you know, I have so many other people, to all the people that has donated and supported this ministry and believed in me, believed in what God had birthed in me. I am so grateful. I never... And like somebody said the other day, don't forget where you come from. I can never forget that because every day, every second, I'm thankful and grateful. And I just want to say, you know, my Angel's Heart Ministry is focused on helping out this place and unsheltered women, whether it be addiction, whether it be domestic violence, et cetera. We're there. And call me at any time. I can, if you want to do a monetary donation. Our cash app is $SarethaJ, SERETHEA. And I just want to say give all the glory to God because he has done some amazing things and he's not finished with me yet.
That's good. Y'all heard all the information. She talked about her sister, Ms. Deidre Neely. Look, she all right. She okay. No, I'm just playing.
That's my honey.
I know Miss Deidre. Great woman. Great.
That's my blood sister. Not my sister in Christ. My blood sister.
I like messing with her sometimes. She okay. She good. She good.
I mean, she
but,
hangs
hey,
on, Pastor. She sure
but
blood.
Look. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, y'all heard it. This was on the show on tonight. It was Ms. Angela Morgan, founder. She's the founder of Angel's Heart Ministry Outreach for Women, and you got all information. And I just want to say that, hey, Angela, we appreciate you for spending some time with us. I'm going to get with you when we get offline because I got something else I want to ask you. So, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to just give a big shout-out to Miss Angela Morgan,
founder of Angel's
Heart Ministry Outreach to Women. We appreciate you, and we love you, and thank you for riding with us for a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, you know, already know tomorrow. Tomorrow is Light of Hope Fellowship Ministries. This is it'll be our Friday service at 7:30 on Facebook Live. Check us out. You already know Blessings on the Block Community Outreach. Hey, look, help us out. Help us all out because this is about God's people. This is about everything that we're doing for God and give all the glory to God. And again, hey, Angela, I appreciate you. TBV Radio Network. I salute y'all. Join us next week. We out. One.
No time for no nonsense. Nah. Straight like that. Set it on wax. Only spitting facts. You can play it back. You can hit a track.
truth when I'm in the booth. You can hit the dough if you get mad.
Brother, your cousin, your nephew, of Real Talk, Pastor Byron Sago.
What you finna do when you get in?
I'ma act up, act up, act up.
TPV Radio, Central Texas.